I want to thank you all for being here and welcome you this morning as we come together to worship God. We have a lot of visitors, and too many to mention, but I want you to know that we do appreciate having you with us today. There are several that Karen mentioned in the bulletin this morning, and it's important that we recognize and acknowledge those that are helping and rendering things here to contribute of their time and their skills. And mentioned Claudia went to a lot of work cutting out the crafts and the papers for the preschool class. So we really appreciate Claudia's help. And Julie did some beautiful bulletin boards downstairs that I would encourage you to go look at those in the hallway and in the children's classrooms and see some of the work that she put in a lot of her time. And Jen has been doing a wonderful job teaching the Wednesday evening class for the preschool kids. And also, Paul Hatch has done a lot of work for us recently, putting in a new heater down in our basement downstairs. And doing some work on the baptistry as well. So we really appreciate Paul's help in all of those things. Matt did some went out of his way to help Bob with some repairs at his home with the plumbing. So I want to thank all of you. And there's many others that give of your time to help. And sometimes very little is said to appreciate all the hard work that you do. So thank you very much. I would like for us to think again this morning about the importance of parenting. And I have been trying to present some lessons the last few weeks on that theme. And parenting and training and teaching our children as God disciplines and raises us as His children. And this morning I'd like for us to think about the importance of disciplining your kids in love. And doing so as God disciplines us. As we learn from His Word that God loves us as His children. And He corrects us in love as His children. And that is one thing that a parent is commanded to do, is ordained by God to do in the way of our children. Our children give us a lot of joy in life. Sometimes we don't always know what they're going to do next, but they do give us a lot of joy in life. And the Bible teaches that we need to take seriously the blessing of being parents, the responsibilities of being parents. I've tried to emphasize the fact that there are several things that really stand out. Is the importance of being a good parent is giving our children unconditional love and acceptance of that they are always loved by us. Also, teaching them how to set proper spiritual priorities in their lives, helping them to gain those spiritual priorities, and to keep them focused on the hope that we have as Christians of going to heaven someday, that hope is found in Jesus Christ. Those spiritual responsibilities that God has given us, that as parents, God teaches us the importance of training up our children to know the Lord and to walk in the ways of the Lord. And there's a lot of thinking in our society today that has almost convinced some parents that's the last thing we would want to do, is to try to impose our thoughts on our children or to teach them our beliefs and our faith, that would be somehow damaging to them, that would be unfair to them, that they need to be able to make their own choices. But I would say to all of you that if you have in your heart belief that your faith is true, if it is the truth and you are completely convinced that is the truth, then you should want to teach that same faith to your children. Not because you're in a position of power over them that makes it unfair advantage to you as the parent, but because if it is true, then why wouldn't you want to teach it to your children? You want them to know those things that are true. Just like we teach our children how to tie their shoes and how to take care of their personal health and their hygiene, we teach them many things because they are true, not because we have an unfair advantage of authority above our children, but because we want them to have a good life. We want them to know the Lord because the Lord is true, the Lord is good, the Lord is loving. And therefore, God has given us a responsibility to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And so, some of the topics that I'd like for us to think about this morning is to understand that our kids will make mistakes. And I've mentioned this before several times, that God uses his grace with us in great measure of he understands that we are imperfect, and yet he accepts us and he loves us. And he helps to forgive us and helps us to grow. And we need to understand that as parents, we need to have that attitude with our children to understand that they are sometimes going to fail. But we love them and we help them and we point out and we correct them and we teach them and help them to understand responsibility and accountability, and that they will learn to grow in their life and develop good character for the time when they go out into the world on their own. That is our responsibility as parents, to help our children grow up to know the Lord and to be obedient and to honor and have principles in their life that will help them wherever they go, and eventually will help them to have a home in heaven with God. Secondly, I want us to understand and think about the difference this morning between reaction and response when it comes to disciplining our children. Discipline is a God-ordained responsibility that he has given to us. Now, God does not condone child abuse or child beating or anything of that nature. But God does condone and he does teach us to discipline our children in a loving way, in a balanced way. And so there needs to be a difference between a reaction on our part that is a hasty or maybe an anger, and a controlled response that is for the good of that child. And thirdly, to understand that there needs to be consequences for sinful behavior on the part of our children, that we need to help them to understand that there are consequences for sinful behavior in their lives. What are those? And then lastly, what about a wayward child? What is to be our response when there is a child that we have that in spite of our efforts of training them and of teaching them, they choose to walk away from the Lord, or to walk away from the training that we have tried to instill in them? What is our response to be in a case like that? So those are the things that we want to think about this morning in our thoughts together as we look into God's Word. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 18 through 21, we find these words written by the Apostle Paul. He said, "Wives, submit to your own husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged." Now we understand here that it gives a responsibility on the part of children to obey their parents, to honor their parents. It gives a responsibility in reverse of that to parents to be conducting themselves in a way that is right with our children. Primarily, the responsibility rests to the husband, to the father, as we see here. And I pointed this out in Ephesians chapter 4, that we find the same thing. Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So God has singled out fathers as being, what I would say, the team leader. That there is a parenting team of the father and the mother training our children, and the father is the leader in that. You see, God has always, from the beginning, has given a principle of leadership, a principle of headship, that someone needs to be taking the lead. And that is true in every walk of life that we find. That if we're talking about the company that you work for, someone needs to take the lead. We understand that. If we're talking about our country and the orderly process of government of our country, someone needs to take the lead. That is something that God has taught, that principle, from the very beginning. And when it is in the family, God has given that responsibility primarily to the father as the head of his home. Now, it's been pointed out by many leading psychologists who have studied child rearing and the family in detail, that there are three different types of families and households that are often seen in society. And unfortunately, the two most common ones are not very effective. And that the first one is the father-dominant home. The father-dominant home, where the father is in absolute control and his word is always what is done. And oftentimes the wife is almost afraid of her husband. The children do not know how to communicate. They are afraid of their father. They always do what he says, but it's not a healthy relationship. Then there's the mother-dominant home, where the mother is in control. The father won't take the responsibility. And so the mother has to be forced almost to step in and fulfill that role. But it's dominant on her part. And again, there's many problems that comes out of that kind of a home. That is, psychologists will point out that children do not grow up with a proper respect for their father or for men, and it can lead to many other problems. The one type of home that is really healthy and respected is where the father is the leader of his home. And he leads in a way that is loving. He leads in a way that is like Christ, that he is a servant to his family. Just as Jesus came down and became a servant to us. That the healthy type of household is one where the father is the leader, but he leads in a loving way, not in an authoritative, forceful way, abusive to his wife or his children, either verbally or physically. But he's a loving father that cares about his wife. He loves her. He loves his children. And he's a servant to his family and makes many sacrifices for their good. And yet he is a leader within his home, and he trains his children, and he seeks to instill in them the kind of life that God would have them to be. That's a healthy family, and those children will often grow up to be well-adjusted, responsible, good people in their lives, because those principles have been instilled into them, and they respect them, and they accept them within their heart as the way that a family should be. So that is what Paul is really pointing out for us here in this passage, is helping us to understand this, that there needs to be that kind of leadership within the home. I could compare this to the use of a level in a carpenter's level, that we understand that there needs to be proper balance. And when it comes to raising our children and disciplining our children, there needs to be a proper balance in this. Because There needs to be such things as unconditional love of our children that is shown. There needs to be healthy communication with our children. That when we discipline our children, we need to discipline them and we need to communicate with them and help them to understand that we love them and that we are disciplining them out of that purpose and that goal in their life. And the discipline that we'd select, it needs to be that the father and mother are in full agreement of how that method is going to be carried out. And it needs to be in a healthy way, and it needs to be in an appropriate way that discipline is done when it is needed. It is not overdone. It is not neglected. It is not a household where children are just being able to get away with things that they do that are wrong and nothing is said, nothing is done. They're never corrected. They're never brought into responsibility for their behavior. But it needs to be done in a balanced way. That is the point. Understand that discipline is controversial. Discipline is a controversial thing. Everybody has a different opinion when it comes to discipline. All the way from, you shouldn't discipline your children, you know, you should not use any corporal punishment of your children. And it can go from one extreme to the other, and everyone is very controversial. And you look at the books that are on it, and they're all over the spectrum of different ideas on how we should discipline our children. So we need to avoid those extremes. We need to not be concerned about what do people think. You know, I want to have my children, I want them to look good in the eyes of my friends. I want them to look good when they come out in public. What we need to be concerned about is pleasing God, doing what is pleasing to God. Going to His Word, trying to seek to understand how does God teach us to train our children? How does He teach us to discipline our children? And seek to do it in a way that would be honoring to Him, that is pleasing to God. Don't worry about what people are thinking. That isn't the purpose. It doesn't really matter. What does God think? Let's try to seek to raise our children the way that God would have us to be. So we need to understand that our children will make mistakes. They're kids after all. Let's be honest. That our kids are not perfect. None of them, and that we sometimes overreact as parents. And I've been guilty of this. I've been guilty of this, that thinking that, well, my children, I am not going to let them do anything that would be an embarrassment to me in my position. And so it's very easy for parents sometimes to forget that our children, our kids, they are going to make mistakes. We need to learn to let them be children. that we need to understand that we don't have to overreact. We need to learn to have a response that is a proper response and not a reaction. Not an angry reaction, not a hasty reaction. We can come out with our children with both barrels blazing, and we can later have many regrets of that. That we lose control, we get angry, we say things, we do things that is out of control with our children. It's an overreaction. It should be a response instead of that. So when it comes to us, we understand that we make mistakes. And how would it be if God was with us the way sometimes we as parents have a tendency with our children? That God must be sometimes up in heaven. He must be looking down at me and he think, what am I going to do with that Paul Bailey? You know, how many times do I have to tell you? And sometimes we do this with our children. We say, how many times have I told you not to do that? And we go on and on over and over again. And yes, they have heard it before, but they're still children. And they make mistakes. And sometimes it takes them a long time to learn how to control themselves and how to understand to make a better response and a better choice in their life. But we can be thankful that God is the kind of God with us that over and over we make the same mistakes and yet God still loves us. He doesn't give up on us. He doesn't condemn us. He understands that we are imperfect. And yet He loves us. And He continues to work with us. So we need to have that attitude when it comes to our children. In Luke chapter 15, you know, and I want to use this example this morning, a couple of places, is where God is described in terms of the prodigal son's father in Luke chapter 15. Now, if we look at that parable from the perspective of the father, it seems to me that God, that the father in this parable represents God. And his son went away from home and he went and messed up things in his life. He went into the far country. He wasted his money. He did some immoral things probably in his life. And eventually, though, he came to himself, it says, and he realized he had done wrong. He wanted to go back to his father. He said, I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. And I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And so it says he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. You see, the father here had a response to his son. Not a reaction. He didn't react. His father didn't react when he went away into the other country. He didn't get angry and he said, that's it, I will never, that son better never show up at my door again. His father was under a controlled response. He loved his son. He was waiting for him to come home. He didn't go running after him. He didn't go after him down the road and say, son, don't do this, don't go away. He allowed him to make his choice. He stayed at home, waiting for his son to return. And when he did, he ran to meet him. That is a response. That is a controlled response, a loving response, with love, with grace on the part of the father. That is the kind of response that we as parents need to have, that kind of maturity, that kind of grace, that kind of love and acceptance and unconditional love of our children, that they're going to make mistakes. Our goal is try to teach them, try to love them, try to instill in them the value that they respect us, and eventually they will come back to us and seek our advice and seek our help and return the love that we have tried to give to them. So our goal is to build a sense of trust in God, in their hearts, to help them achieve victory over sin, over temptation, and help them to make the right choices in their life. That what we have tried to teach them will be in their hearts. And eventually, they will know to do the right thing. One of the leading authorities at the Children's Hospital here in Seattle, Dr. Raskin, this is what he said. He said, the key to a healthy personality development lies in the child's close, unbroken attachment in its early months to the people who care for him. If you give your children consistent love and discipline until the age of 6, you will find that most of your work is done. So it's important in those early years, is what he is saying, to train our children, to discipline them, to correct them, help them to develop the character, help them develop the right attitude of their heart, to want to do the right things. And that will go a long ways to helping them reach the goal that we would have in mind for them to reach. Avoid condemnation, because as we see here, God did not do that with us. He continues to love us. He's very patient. He's very long-suffering. And we respond with love and grace. Now, what are the consequences for sinful behavior on the part of our children? Because there needs to be consequences. Let's be honest. We're not helping our children when we ignore their sinful behavior. When we just gloss it over, when we act like, oh, it's so cute, you know, we almost laugh at them. And things that they need to be corrected, we allow it to grow and to become more and more of a problem until it is too late for us to be able to correct that problem in there. So they need to learn from discipline. They need to be disciplined. They need to be disciplined in a proper way. But when there is sinful behavior, when they're doing things that are wrong, when they're being defiant of their parents, when they are being disobedient, they need to be corrected. There needs to be discipline, and there needs to be consequences. Children learn from discipline. They learn from the lack of discipline. They learn things as we train them. In the way that we train them, we're helping them to learn how the proper behavior should be. The word discipline, it really comes from the word meaning to teach, to disciple, or to be able to instruct. So that is a part of discipline, is teaching our children as we correct them. But providing consequences for sinful behavior is a form of loving our children. And all we have to do to see that is look at God. Look at God's correcting of us and taking from the book of Proverbs in Hebrews chapter 12, which it originally goes back to Proverbs chapter 3, what he is quoting from. He says, "And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives." See, God corrects us in a loving way. He disciplined David, for example. David was a man after God's own heart, but he went astray. He committed adultery with Bathsheba, and God sent a correction of David. He sent a prophet, Nathan, and confronted him, but he did wrong. "You are the man," he said. But through it all, God was loving David. God was helping him to overcome that sin that was in his life. God didn't turn his back on David. God still loved him, but he chastened him. He corrected him in a loving way. And that's how God is with each of us. When we do wrong, God lets us know. He wants us to have a sensitive conscience that we would feel guilty and there would be consequences when we do things that are wrong. He says, "Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." So we need to understand that we are not our children's best buddy. We are their parent. We are there to discipline them when they need discipline, to teach them, to help them to know what the proper way is. And they're going to be better off as a result. They're going to be more happy. A child has a sense built in. I believe this, that if they do wrong and there are no consequences, the child doesn't feel that that's right. A child does something wrong and they receive consequences, they receive some form of punishment, a child actually feels better about that because they have that sense of justice that is given to them by God. And when they do wrong and they are disciplined, now they can move on. They understand, I did wrong. I received consequences. Now, my parents still love me. And they can go forward, and that is how they grow. That is how they learn. What about corporal punishment? Corporal punishment is a very controversial thing today. But the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 22, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him. Now, a lot of parents live by that rule as if that were the only thing that the Bible says about this. But we actually go over and look at the other verses that the book of Proverbs talks about. And in Proverbs 29 and verse 15, it says, "The rod and rebuke give wisdom." So here's two ways of discipline. The rod and the rebuke. There's not just one way of disciplining our children. Sometimes there may be a need for the corporal punishment. Sometimes, though, there's a need for the admonishment and the correction and the reproof. And speaking to our children, we need to do that as well and help them to understand that when they do wrong, there needs to be consequences, but they need to be corrected in the proper way. Some of the things that we need to keep in mind as we discipline our children, that in a balanced way, as I say, using the level that a carpenter would use, is we need to, as parents, agree on the form of discipline that it would be appropriate. Both the husband and the wife need to set that out. And how should this discipline be? Be consistent with the discipline that we agree upon. Be willing to accept the child, but not condone the wrong behavior. Be sure that the expectations of the child are clearly understood, that here's what we expect. And there will be consequences. So we discuss that. We help them to understand what the expectation is. Be sure that the discipline shapes the will without destroying the spirit. You see, that is also very important. We don't want to damage the spirit of the child. We don't want to insult them. We don't want to hurt them in a way that would bring permanent damage to them. We want to correct them, but do it in a way that will shape the will, but not damage the spirit. Sometimes there are parents who their children go astray. Sometimes their children are involved in sinful behavior, and yet they continue to support their children. A child will have a drug problem, and yet they will come around to the house, and they need money, and the parent will actually give them money to support their habit, thinking that they are helping their child in that. You should never do that. You should never be encouraging or condoning or supporting sinful behavior. There need to be consequences when that is done. But it needs to be in a controlled response. You need to get their attention to help them to see that this is unacceptable. This will not be condoned. This will not be tolerated. And there will be consequences for that type of behavior. But help them to see that's not the way they want to be. There's a better way for them in their life that they can shape their will to have a heart to do what is right and be blessed by that. What about the wayward child? What about if the parents have taught their child, they've tried to instill in their children the right ways of behavior, and yet in spite of that, the child ends up, they go out and they walk away from the training that the parent has given. Well, again, we see in that parable that is in Luke chapter 15 that it's really a picture of God with His children. And what does the parable tell us? It tells us that here was God with His children, and yet His child walked away from Him. That should tell us right there that if God cannot always keep His children in line, we aren't going to always keep our children in line. Sometimes our children are going to go astray. And we see the response of God in that parable. God remained in control. He remained loving. He remained patient. He was long-suffering. He still held a love that his child would come back. And he went and received him back and forgave him and celebrated the victory of his child coming home. Too many parents live in tremendous guilt that a child of theirs has gone away. And as I mentioned before, oftentimes this verse from Proverbs, train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart about from it, is understood in a way that if I teach my children, they will never go astray. That overlooks the fact that they have a will of their own. They have a free choice that they have to make. And none of us as parents are perfect. We all make mistakes. We all fail. And none of us are ever going to do a perfect job in training our children. But God has given us that responsibility to the best that we can to train our children in a loving way, to love God, to serve Him. And if they go astray, then we need to accept the fact, just as God did, that sometimes that's the choice of the child, in spite of every effort. But we still love them. We don't abandon them. We don't turn our back on them. We're prepared to forgive them. But as I say, we don't support them in their bad habits. We're not going to give them money to spend on their drugs. We're not going to fund their bad behavior. We're not going to condone it, but we're still going to love our children and pray for them that they will eventually return. What is your relationship with God this morning? You know, being a good parent, it really comes down to us having the right relationship with God in our life. That we have committed ourselves to Him. We love Him. We serve Him. We have our goals set on the spiritual goals of heaven. We seeking first the kingdom of God. And we're striving to be the kind of parents, the kind of father, the kind of mother that God Himself is with us. Even though we never live up to it perfectly, that is our goal. That's what we're trying to do. But what is our relationship with God? That's where it needs to begin. So if you're here today and not a Christian, what I would encourage is for you to come to make your relationship right with God. Commit your life to the Lord in obedience to the gospel, in repentance, if you need the prayers of the church on your behalf. But make your life right with God. Be committed in your life. Live a godly life, and God will bless you. And He will bless your efforts to be a good parent and will bless your home. I believe those things with all my heart. So if you're here this morning, we invite you to come as we stand together and sing the invitation.